Hey, NDL, welcome to Pardon the Interruption, the NDL version. It's RB here with a couple of your NDL media members. I'm sitting down with Petty D out in Southern California, and I am sitting with Coach Tim Lick, and we're going to go through some hot topics in the NDL today. Gentlemen, I'll ask you first, Pat. How are you today, sir?
Doing well, man. It's a blistering 72 outside, so can't complain.
Great. Tim, you're with us as well. How are you today?
I'm good. It's the opposite here right now. It's a Wednesday, and it's been raining all day down here in Louisiana.
Nice. Well, I'm in the same boat as Pat. It's about 75 and beautiful out. I'm not ready for the cold front that's about to hit us, but let's talk about some NDL happening, some hot topics here going around the league. First one today for you guys, fellows, we have San Diego State beating South Carolina in the Cup. I want to ask you first, Tim, are you buying stock in San Diego State?
It's easy for me to say now because I had a chance to play him this morning. So it's obviously a lot easier for me to say yes. Obviously, I think the history is shown in the NDL. If you're able to run the ball and not turn the ball over, you know, that does wonders definitely in the playoffs and stuff. Those teams that have the high tempo offenses score really quick. They tend to give up a lot of points, and then it becomes, you know, a big play ends up being the big separation between the two. So I'm buying stock in San Diego State. From the beginning of the season, I've said I'm biased, but I've said that someone's most likely going to probably come out of the Mountain West and be in contention for a playoff spot. Obviously, he's going to have to win out because he does sit with that one loss already in the regular season. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him win another game in the Cup in the next round. And I definitely see him making some noise in the Mountain West. Right now, he sits second in the conference, but it's just because he hasn't played as many games. But he's 7-1, 3-0 in the conference, and so I definitely am buying stock.
Yeah, so for me, obviously you're dealing with probably the best non-power conference. Yes, I'm buying stock, but it brings up and Tim, I'm curious to pick your brain about this. It brings up a point that people talk about the Cup. It's obviously an awesome thing that we do in the league, but some people like to say, well, it's a glorified scrimmage, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm different. I think everyone's trying in their Cup games. Why wouldn't you? And I know people understand my stance in this. I think the SEC is severely overrated. It gets overrated because of maybe the coaches that are there, but I've watched a lot of the games, including Metro's. I think he's a pretty good player, but as much as I wouldn't buy stock in San Diego State, I think he's great. I think Colorado State is the better team in that conference, and I think maybe he beat a South Carolina team who, yeah, got a lot of love because he beat LSU. Well, LSU didn't have their starting quarterback, and that was a runner-up, I'm pretty sure, in the Heisman last season. So that's kind of a big deal, big suspension. So not completely buying stock in SDSU making the playoff. I think Colorado State wins that conference.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with you. I agree with you, Pat, real quick. I do agree with you that with the Cup game, I think everybody tries to win that Cup game. No one lines up against someone else and is like, I don't care about this game, you just win it. I think what happens is when people lose, that's their first reaction is, this is stupid, it's the Cup. I don't care about it. You know, it's like, I'm going to take my ball and go home type of mentality.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I watched the game last night. It was a close game the entire time. Both teams have played 8 games in the regular season. And, I mean, San Diego State leads the whole conference, and they're up there in the top 10 in scoring offense. They've scored 337 points in 8 games. You know, and South Carolina's up there, too, with 306 points. South Carolina boasts one of the best defenses in the SEC with the amount of games they played. And San Diego State didn't have a problem scoring against them. And so I think you hit it right on the button when you said that when you really take these top-tier coaches from any of the conferences, I think they can compete in any conference with any team they have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys bring up great points. I mean, my biggest thing is I have taken my foot off the gas a little bit on San Diego State just because I think we've been sleeping on some of those power conference teams like A&M and Kentucky. But, of course, right when I take my foot off the gas, they prove me wrong. And so – you have New Mexico dropping a game, and now San Diego State picking up a big Cup win. Now, will that translate to the regular season? We will see over the next few weeks. Next topic for you guys, Florida's quarterback, DJ Lagway, will be out the next few games. big, massive games against Texas. And I'm dropping the other one, dropping the ball on the other one. But Florida
LSU,
quarterback,
I believe.
LSU, there you go. Will Florida be okay without their starting quarterback the next two games?
Tim, I'll take this one. No. Dare I say he may improve? The quarterback he was starting is a true freshman, which don't get me wrong, super athletic, crazy arm strength. But Graham Mertz in the spring was at first listed as the starter. So you're basically taking the quasi starter and plugging him into two big games. So maybe there is, I've definitely watched Florida play and he does do a few design runs. So maybe those will be taken out, but maybe he hands the ball off more instead of tossing it so much, which might actually help him instead of hurt him because in a few games this year, he's thrown a high number of picks. I don't know, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that, you know, obviously, watching the Cup game, we go back to the Cup and watching Legway play against the Cup. There were some throws and stuff that I thought he missed. The player himself missed, and then I think that he was trying to run with designed run plays that just didn't work. I mean, he just wasn't successful doing it, and so I think this may open up his playbook a little bit more and really get that run game established. Which we know Marion in the past has been able to run the ball, and obviously watching him play against some of these tougher opponents, he's had a hard time running the ball. And so I think maybe this will expand and open up that playbook a little bit more. But I mean, what a tough two games to have to make a change. That's the thing, is you've got to make a change and adapt to those players. And I mean, he's playing two very good quality coaches in a conference where he's at the point where when you lose with the tiebreakers, it really could force you out of the college football playoff. When the tiebreakers and the championship round come off, I mean, it just opens up a whole nother box of things if he ends up losing one of those two games.
Absolutely. It sounds like we're on the same page here.
Yeah, I think you guys make a great point. I mean, it forces him to really dive back into his offense and maybe even it helps him get better. I mean, it makes him stronger going into the end of the season. But you nailed it, Tim. I mean, there's less of a margin for error this late in the season. We see it in real life college football, and we're going to see it in the NDL that if you lose late in the season, that could be something that knocks you out of the college football playoff ranking. Great segue. We'll move on to the CFP ranking coming out probably 6 days from now, next Tuesday, I believe. Give me your top four. Pat, we'll start with you.
Yeah, top four, you're going to have Kansas in there, and then you're obviously going to have South Carolina, obviously pending on what we see in the next few days. And then third team, you can't have Baylor, right, if you have Kansas in there. So where do you go from there is a tough question. Just kind of looking around, probably Iowa will be in there as of right now. And then believe it or not, and we may talk about this in a different segment, but I have to give a ton of credit. When you make hot takes, sometimes you have to end up eating crow, dealer at Miami. Incredible, kind of comeback on the season, tough start. And there he is, at the top of the ACC. So I would think that's going to be your top four, with maybe SDSU instead of Miami.
I mean, that's the tough part about picking four when the 12, when we're thinking of 12, is because if I'm going to take my four best teams, what I like right now with the body of work that they put in this season, I'm probably going with South Carolina number one, only because of the strength of schedule again, right? And they're undefeated in conference play. I would probably go with Alabama next. I know they have a loss, but again, strength of schedule. They've played a majority of their best games already, toughest games. And then I would probably put Kansas. And Baylor, you could really flip-flop them because it's really going to come down to that last game they play, the regular season, right, is who's going to get in. But I'd put Kansas in right now at number three. And it's really tough for me to put Texas in there. I know Steamroller's a good coach. I can't put three SEC teams in there. And that's what stinks is he just hasn't played enough games. He's only played four games right now. And so right now he wouldn't even be in my top 12 because he's missing those games. I'm with you. I would probably go with a team – like Iowa, probably representing that conference there. Another team not to sleep on is New Mexico, right? Nebraska. I know they don't have a coach or anything like that, but, you know, they're sitting right there ranked right behind Iowa. And so it's tough to rank a team, obviously, without a coach. But, I mean, I think one of those, basically the team, you know, we're not really represented by any mid-major right now, just because it's only four.
Well, I do have to jump in here and remind you, Baylor cannot be in the top four if Kansas is, and neither can two SEC teams, because you have to have one of the Power Five teams. We're talking about top four, like,
yeah,
the buys, right?
Brings an interesting point into play here. You guys went two different directions. Pat went top four based on the buys and the conferences and how they shake out, and Tim went with his top four teams ranking-wise, right? Like, both things do happen in the college football playoffs.
Correct.
So, no wrong answer here. Just interesting to see kind of the take you guys both have on your perspective of top four teams or top four seeds, I guess we should say as well.
Yeah, if I had to pick a top four seed, I'd probably go South Carolina, Kansas, Iowa, and then right now with the body work, I'd probably pick San Diego. Memphis would probably be really close behind. I think those are the two probably vying for that mid-major spot from a Power Five.
I have to apologize to Memphis. That's a great choice as well.
Yeah, and it begs the question about the ACC, which we'll get to a little bit later. But next question for you guys. Two teams in the Big Ten that are very much in the running and have made these surges over the past few weeks. You got Maryland and Michigan State. I ask you guys, who's more likely to make the Big Ten title game between those two teams? Tim, we'll start with you.
Of course you would. I was pretty big on Michigan State at the beginning of the year. I thought Roque was a good coach coming from a one loss last season to a bigger conference with a better team. And obviously, no one would dispute his strength of schedule. Definitely now that you see what Maryland's doing at the beginning of the year, that was kind of up in the air about how good Maryland would be. And that was a game he won. Michigan State beat Maryland 34-24 in week two, I do believe it was. And he went into Kansas week one. And, I mean, it was fairly competitive for a half. And then the game then he got blown out. But, I mean, he's put together wins against ranked Ohio State, ranked Oregon. He lost to LSU on the road by like nine. And so I think every game except for Maryland so far this season that he's played has been against a ranked opponent. He lost to Iowa by three. To round out his schedule, he's playing Illinois, Purdue, and Rutgers in conference. And so he really, I mean, he's able to kind of control his own destiny here. He does have a game against Kentucky at home. I mean, I'm putting all my stock in Michigan State as being the better team, if we're putting them up against Maryland.
Yeah, they always say the old adage is it's really hard to beat a good team twice. So if they happen to play again, who has a better chance to make it? It's got to be Michigan State. Obviously, Tim touched on it. I mean, a 45-18 opponent record is insane. If you look at some of the scores and if you watched them, those games were pretty darn competitive. The game against LSU, pretty sure they were all on the road too. Maybe he played Kansas at home. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. But you just I always like to see who's really rolling at the end of the season. And I think that's going to be him. He has the better quarterback of the two teams. And at the end of the day in college football, I think quarterbacks really rule the day. And Aiden Childs is a stud and, he's got the better quarterback, whereas Maryland's more ground and pound. And when he does get forced to throw, he does struggle a little bit. And Tim touched on it, that last three games for him in the Big 10 is about as easy as it gets.
Yeah, to where on the other side of the ball, you're looking at Maryland. They play their toughest three in conference games at the end of the year. They have to go to Iowa and play. And I mean, really, if each team loses one game out of those four games, Michigan State still holds the tiebreaker against the two. So
there you have it.
Yeah, great call out. I think a lot of guys would love to see an Iowa versus Michigan State rematch as well in the Big Ten Championship. That could be a pretty fun game considering it came down to a last-second field goal last time the two teams played. We'll move on to the next one. Biggest sleeper that you guys are keeping your eye on here that could wreck the CFP. Pat, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so we just kind of talked about one of them, so I won't spend too much time on it, but Michigan State. But here's the deal. Cincinnati, and I do have to go a little Big 12 bias here. Look, I've played him in the Cup this season. I played him when he was at UTEP last season. He has lost only two games total in this league, and both of them were on, like, last second plays. So he's very close to being more undefeated than Jiggy. he plays unbelievable offense. I think against Colorado the other day, his quarterback was like 28 of 30 passing against a quality team like that. And he really does a good job of running the football and limiting the turnovers. I think his quarterback has only thrown two picks this year. So he's clearly, and I know it's hard to say, hey, the 20th ranked team is a sleeper, but he definitely doesn't get talked about on anything. And it's about time to put a little respect on the young kid's name because he's very good.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you there. I think that that conference at the beginning of the season, a majority of us in the media, as well as other members, didn't put a lot of weight on that conference being very good, right? We thought it was super top heavy, but we're definitely seeing now that there are other people in that conference that could potentially challenge, you know, Jiggy and Vegas and stuff. And so I'm definitely with you there. I'm going to go with a different team as my sleeper team. And the biggest reason is I really don't have a big sample size. I'm going with Steam with Texas. Okay. Steam did wonderful things last year with SMU when you talk about the other teams that were in the playoffs with his roster was nowhere near as talented as those other teams. And he has Texas, which arguably is one of the most talented rosters on the game. He's sitting at 4-0, and he's only given up 33 points this season. I know the four opponents. Sorry, guys. They have not been very good. But he really could make some things move in the SEC and make some noise in the playoffs. And I know it's not a sleeper because he's number five, but a lot of people, you can tell in the polls, a lot of people aren't voting him because he hasn't played a lot of games. So that would probably be mine.
Let me make one more comment too, because again, it's always funny, right? Like, hey, how can a number five team be a sleeper? But Tim, that's the first name that came to mind just because maybe he hasn't played a lot. But then another player that comes to mind who's ranked super high that it's funny to call it a sleeper, but it is Bucknut at LSU. He's won seven games in a row, seven, and missing quarterback in the one loss, like the guy who was a runner up for the Heisman. So I mean, I know it's hard to call the top 10 team a sleeper, but just on people that don't get a lot of media, definitely a guy.
Yep, sure. I'm with you. I mean, when you look at Bucknut, he was probably the second best team last year in the league. He lost to Jiggy in the cup, and he lost to Jiggy in the playoffs, I think. And they played back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a couple of things to add. So I'm with you guys. It's funny. I actually, shameless plug here, I wrote in a power ranking the other day that was posted on the site. And I wrote, don't sleep on this guy, because I think after an early loss, a lot of people go, oh, well, they're not going to be back this year. They're not going to make their CFP run. But yeah, don't sleep on LSU. I'll give you one other team that I don't think is being talked about very much. And I'm kind of wondering if he's starting to purposefully fly under the radar. But how about Utah as a sleeper? Currently a one-loss team, still in the running, obviously, for the Big 12. The Big 12 is going to be interesting how it shakes out. But sorry, Pat, I got
to. We won't talk about his opponent's record. It's not good.
Yeah, it's like 20 and 30 or something like that. I was looking the other day.
Yeah, it's 20 and 31.
But, Pat, I know you weren't an idiot when you took Utah because you knew they didn't play Kansas.
Or Baylor.
They don't play Kansas or Baylor, who arguably two of the best teams in the conference. No offense
or Cincinnati
to D. Candy or Smitty. Yeah, and you don't play Cincinnati either. You do have two tough games coming up with Colorado and Iowa. And I will tell you this, that if you win both those games, one's on the road in Iowa, and the other one's going to be obviously at home against Colorado. If you win both those games, though, there's not, and you win out, let's say you win out, there's no doubt that you deserve to be, you know, in that championship game and probably the college football playoff. But obviously I'm with RB though, is that no one's really talking about Utah, but because your schedule has been so
perfect, just the way we like it. Let's move on.
Yeah. We'll move on. We'll move on to our last question. Going back to the ACC here, we got Miami, hot team, five in a row. Are you guys buying, is Miami in the driver's seat in the ACC the rest of the season?
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. They are.
What a fun conference. Like, you got, you I almost want to just jump in this conference midseason because I'm like looking at all these teams and it's all like really good players, but then like they have weird records, but then they've played a lot of like hard teams. And I still think Georgia Tech is the guy to beat. I know I mentioned Miami in my top early four, but just watching Georgia Tech play and he's the best actual like guy on the sticks I've watched in the conference. But I mean, this one's going to be a fun chase to the end for sure.
The best part of Miami controls its own destiny. They play Georgia Tech at home and then play at Wake Forest. Those are the next two games. Besides the Florida State game that's behind them, but those are the—I mean—they control their own destiny. They win out, and they're in. They even have some room for error if he loses against Florida State or Syracuse because he doesn't have a loss yet in the conference. And so, as long as he beats Georgia Tech and Wake Forest, he controls his own destiny with any tiebreakers. And so, we've talked about it. The ACC is probably the closest. You know, with six or seven teams that people don't talk about, like how competitive that conference is right now at the top is crazy.
And if you look at their opponent records for all of them, every one of them is basically at 500 or better that they've played against, and including Dealer against a 41-21 opponent record. Really impressive stuff to just come back after that, you know, slow start. And then, like, you got guys like BC, though, who beat Michigan. You've got Jason at Cal, who is beating the crap out of people lately. And then you have Block, who beat Brady early in the season and then went on a sabbatical, and now he's back. And, you know, and then you've got Wes at Wake, who plays awesome defense. So, yeah, I mean, what a fun race this is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, Dealer almost beat Alabama, too. I think he locked by a field goal, and it was a close game till the very end, too.
Yeah,
that is right. Yeah. And then you've got Stanford who beat Rain, like just on a random Thursday night.
Yeah. He didn't get that
practice game in.
Hey, that's the key, man.
The other thing to mention on the Miami loss is that his other loss is to Florida, who was a one score game as well to start of the season. So, you know, 0-2 start, but if you will, two quality losses. I'm with you guys both. This is going to be a fun conference. I wouldn't count Virginia Tech out either. I know they do have two conference losses, but they picked up the big one against Georgia Tech. And so if you get down to any tiebreakers late in the season with two lost teams, don't forget about Virginia Tech in there as well. We'll wrap things up, guys. I appreciate you coming on and debating some hot topics. Any final words or last things that you want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead. Pat first.
Yeah, I might be in the minority in this, but I think the way that they're doing college football now, maybe it's because I'm an English Premier League fan and I really like soccer, but eliminating divisions from football in these conferences, I think makes it more exciting, especially when you get to a conference championship game. No longer will, I'm just going to use real football as an example, no longer will you have Michigan playing Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, something like that. Yeah. You now get the two essentially best teams playing each other in that championship game. And I think it's going to, obviously there's a lot of tiebreakers, right? Because they can't play everyone, but it definitely eliminates a situation where you have Northwestern playing in the Big 10 title game, like in real, you get what I'm saying? So yep, I may exactly be in the minority. Tim, what do you guys think about that?
I'm with
all,
you.
All you guys.
I'm with you. And you bring up, like, you talk about the Big 12 or Big 10. I'll bring up the SEC only because I hate the SEC in real life, right? And I live in SEC country. But I'm with you because you'd have a one loss team out of their championship game. But then arguably you can't leave them out of the college football playoff. Now you're not going to see that. You're going to see the best two teams playing each other, which I enjoy because, like, it doesn't do any good when Alabama and LSU, if they have one loss, they can't play each other, and you got to play some shitty team on the other side. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. And so the only thing I dislike about it, though, Pat, as we talked about it earlier, is that some seasons teams get lucky, and you can't plan this, is they just don't play any of the good conference teams. And so I mean, I liked it back in the day when the Pac-10 was the Pac-10 because they played nine conference games. You played every single team in your conference, which was my favorite part about it. And I understand you just can't do that now with these bigger conferences. And so I do enjoy getting rid of the divisions, though. I definitely agree with you there.
The only potential downfall in that is there is sometimes tiebreaker scenarios that come down to the fourth or fifth tiebreaker where, you know, you might see a team that sneaks in that has two losses or just had some interesting third or fourth level tiebreaker. Kind of saw that in the league last year with Rutgers. Rutgers 8-4 ended up in the Big Ten title game over some teams because of, you know, some levels of tiebreaker. So hopefully that doesn't happen and it does end up being the two best teams. But both great points from you guys.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Thanks for joining, guys. We appreciate it. And everyone out there, you guys have a great week and hope you enjoyed the first edition of Pardon My Take, NBL edition.